Every tax system has a history. The Makar's class lists that govern cost segregation today did not appear out of nowhere. They were built on decades of earlier rules that tried to answer the same basic question: how long should a business be allowed to write off the things it owns? Today we are going back to 1962 to a revenue procedure called Revenue Procedure 62-21. Before this procedure existed, the IRS used a document called Bulletin F. Bulletin F listed hundreds of types of assets and suggested useful lives for each one. The problem was that the useful life determination was a facts and circumstances analysis. For every asset, you had to look at the specific facts of your situation and argue the expected life. This created a lot of uncertainty and a lot of disputes. Revenue Procedure 62-21 replaced Bulletin F. The new procedure organized assets into guideline classes based on industry. Each class had a safe harbor useful life. If your assets fit a class, you could use that life without having to prove the specific expected life of each individual item. It was a simpler, more certain system. That was the goal. Less argument, more predictability. Revenue Procedure 62-21 was superseded a decade later by Revenue Procedure 72-10, which implemented the asset depreciation range system with over 100 asset classes and a range of acceptable lives rather than a single safe harbor. Then, ACRS came in 1981, and Makar's followed, and the entire pre-1981 framework was replaced. So why does a superseded procedure from 1962 belong in the Cost Segregation Authority Library? Because it is part of the lineage. The class life concept, the idea of grouping assets into categories with standardized recovery periods, started taking shape with procedures like this one. That concept runs all the way through to Revenue Procedure 8756, which is the MACRS table your cost segregation study refers to today. Understanding this history also explains why certain assets have the class lives they have. The groupings and periods in the current table reflect decades of policy decisions that started with approaches like this one. For any property placed in service after 1981, the current MACRS rules apply. Revenue Procedure 62-21 is not cited in a modern cost segregation study as operative authority, but it is a touchstone in the history of how American depreciation law developed, and that history connects directly to the tools you use today. Thanks for listening to the Cost Segregation Authority series. For the current MACRS class lists that apply to your property, see the discussion of Revenue Procedure 8756 in your report.